Good evening, everyone. Tonight we're continuing our series of lessons on the I Am passages in the Gospel of John. And tonight we're going to be looking at I Am, the Resurrection, and the Life. John 11 begins with a painful reality, that is, Lazarus is sick, and his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, are worried. And Jesus is loved by this family. Now, Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, but Jesus does not come immediately. This is one of the great tensions in this chapter. Jesus loves them, and yet he delays. Lazarus dies. The funeral begins. The mourners gather. Mary and Martha grieve. And when Jesus finally arrives, Martha says what many hurting people have felt. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So let's begin by looking at the context where Jesus speaks life in the presence of death here. Lazarus' sickness is real. I mean, he really is sick. But Jesus saw a far greater purpose. In John chapter 11 and verse 4, Jesus said to his apostles, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus is not saying that Lazarus would not die physically, because Lazarus did die physically. But Jesus is saying that death would not have the final word. This teaches us something important here, brethren. God's purposes may be larger than our immediate relief. Now, of course, that's what we want, but that might not be his purpose in regards to our situation. Martha and Mary wanted healing before death, but Jesus was going to reveal his power over death. Sometimes we want God to stop the pain before it comes, but John 11 shows us that even when the pain comes, God is not powerless, absent, nor uncaring. Jesus delayed, but his delay was not neglect. In verses 5 and 6 of that 11th chapter of John, Jesus says to Martha and Mary, Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Therefore, he stayed two more days where he was, which almost sounds contradictory. If you loved him, why wouldn't you go to see them? This tells us that divine love does not always operate according to human timing. That's something that we probably need to take to heart. Application. We often measure God's love by how quickly he removes our pain. In John chapter 11, however, Jesus teaches us to measure God's love by the glory, the wisdom, and the life he brings even through the pain. Well, secondly, Martha believed in the what. But Jesus had something far more important in mind. After Martha's declaration, the one where if you had been here, my brother would not have died, Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again," in verse 23. Martha then responds, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day," in verse 24. Martha had the correct doctrine. She believed in a future resurrection, which is true, but Jesus was about to take her understanding even deeper, to which he says, "I am the resurrection and the life," in verse 25. Jesus does not deny the future resurrection. In fact, he confirms it. But he teaches Martha that the future hope of resurrection stands in front of her in the present. Martha knew the what. Jesus is letting her know he is the who that she's been waiting for. So Jesus teaches Martha the future hope is in her presence. In verses 28 and 29 of John chapter 5, Jesus says, "An hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth," talking about that future resurrection. In John chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus says, "Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Once again, the future resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, we are told that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrection hope of God's people is not wishful thinking, brethren. It rests upon the identity and the authority of Jesus. He is the resurrection. The meaning of Jesus' statement is seen in the next section here. When he says, "I am the resurrection," he's telling us that he has authority over physical death. This is clearly demonstrated when he later cries, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes forth. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. His body, by that time, had begun to decay. And Martha even says, "Lord, by this time, there is going to be a stench," in verse 39. And so Jesus lets her know, "It's going to be okay, Martha." Jesus does not need a long ritual. He does not need medication. He doesn't even need a defibrillator. He does not need a process. He speaks, and the dead man comes out. Lazarus' resurrection was a sign. Jesus' resurrection is the victory. Let me say that again. Lazarus' resurrection was a sign of future events, but Jesus' resurrection is that future event. It shows the victory that God has over death. When he says, "I am the life," Jesus has authority not only over physical death, but also over spiritual death. In John's gospel, the word life is one of the great themes. You should underline it or follow along in the book. Words like light, life, world, love, those are all some key thoughts in the gospel of John. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, John writes and says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." In John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus is the source of life with God. Without him, a person may be physically alive, but spiritually dead. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it tells us how that is possible when it says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." So there is a death that people can experience while they're physically alive, spiritual death. But what we want to enjoy is spiritual life, spiritual life. So Jesus promises death is real, but it is not final. He says, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." In John 11, verses 25 and 26. A couple parts of this promise that he just made. Though he may die, he shall live. Christians still physically die. We are reminded of that all the time. But faith in Jesus does not mean we escape funerals, grief, sickness, or loss. Jesus, Lazarus was loved by Jesus, and Lazarus died. Mary and Martha were loved by Jesus, and they suffered grief. But Jesus promises that physical death is not the end. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, a familiar passage to all of us, it talks about how we do not need to sorrow as do the rest who have no hope. Because those who sleep, that is, those who are dead physically, in Jesus will be brought to him. They will be raised again. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, it says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, for they rest from their labors." Whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus said, shall never die, the second part of that promise he made. He's not saying that believers will never experience physical death. We will. He is saying that death cannot destroy the life that he gives. The believer's life is secure in Christ. So though the outer man may die, the inner man is being renewed day by day and certainly will be enjoy that rich fellowship with God once we do physically die. I get in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, Paul writes to us there, and he says, "Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." So death may separate the body from this present world, but it cannot separate the faithful from Jesus. So we conclude with Martha's confession that faith must become personal. After Jesus makes his great claim, "I am the resurrection and the life," he asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" That's the question of the whole sermon. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Jesus does not merely ask her, "Do you understand this?" Nor does he say, "Can you explain resurrection doctrine to me?" He asks, "Do you believe it?" To which Martha answers, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world." In John chapter 11 and verse 27. This is a beautiful confession of faith that Martha offers here. She does not know yet everything Jesus is about to do. She has not seen Lazarus walk out of the tomb, but she places her faith in who Jesus is. That is often where faith must stand, not knowing what's going to happen next, but on knowing who Jesus is. He's the one who next says, "Lazarus, come forth. And he does, amazingly. So where is our faith? Is our faith today in the what's of the Bible or in the who of the Bible? I guarantee you, you spend a lot more time reading the what's, but you'd be far better served by reading about the who. Jesus is. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful to know that though this life is certainly a blessed life for us as your children, you've done given us so many wonderful blessings physically, spiritually, relationally, in so many ways, Father, we are truly blessed. But we know that's just the beginning, and those aren't even the greater blessings. The greater blessings are the spiritual blessings, and the greatest blessing of all is being allowed into your presence, into, as Donnie was mentioning tonight, into the most holy place, for that is where we are going to join you and sit upon your throne. We thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us and the manifestation of that love, your Son. Thank you for him most of all. We offer this prayer to you in his name.